Yeah, the biggest shock about entrepreneurship is that you can't have it all figured out before you start. I mean, the process is ever evolving as you go. And we knew the end goal and the result would be beautiful and smart and functional, but it was the whole process. Okay, how are we going to draft this proposal? How are we going to price it? How are we going to get the team together to build it? And our methodology very early on became clear of, you take the job and then you figure it out.
Welcome back to The Creative Brief. Today is a very special episode. I sit down with Pam Molesky. She's the co-founder and lead organizer at Settled, a luxury home organization company in New York City. Pam has one of the best client approaches to creative that I've ever worked with, and I wanted to have her on to introduce a series that I hope to bring to this podcast. Pam is a client, and we've been working together for the last 3 years to help her company start from scratch and blow up to now a nationally recognized brand. I'm so excited for her to share some of her insights and some of her experience and really her entrepreneurial journey. Her market is an incredibly interesting one, and I'm excited for you to listen. I'm Brian Athey, and this is The Creative Brief. Okay, welcome to The Creative Brief. My guest today is Pam Molesky. She is the founder and lead organizer, head organizer, chief organizer at Settled.
All the above.
Yeah. Welcome, Pam. How are you?
Thank you. I'm so happy to be chatting with you today.
I'm stoked every time we talk. So like what I'm excited about today is that you are my first client to interview. And I wanted to do this series because I love talking to folks that I've worked with, mostly because they inspire me. There are plenty that I don't want to talk to, I guess, and I won't name names. But the handful of clients that I work with personally now are some of my favorite people in the world. And at the top of that list, anytime I introduce you to any other worker or vendor or somebody that can come in and do creative stuff for you, I say, this is Settled. They're my favorite client. I love you guys so much. And I'm so excited to get to sit down and kind of start this segment with you. Thank you for being here.
You know what? You do say that. And that always makes me feel so good because I agree. I'm always so inspired, honestly, after our conversations. I get so jazzed.
That's true for me too. Talk about, I guess, how did we first meet each other? Talk about kind of our intro at Pool House and what Settled was at that time. Like, talk to me about the concept.
Yeah. I guess to do that, I have to take it back a little bit and how Settled came to be.
Came to be, of course. How did the infamous business pitch deck come to my desk?
Yeah, right. So my career began in advertising and
You're an old marketing girl, right?
Yes. No matter who would ask me, so what do you do? I'd say I work in advertising now, but one day I'm going to be a professional organizer. And I told anybody who would listen about that goal that I had, and I would do it for people on the side, friends, family. So I had a career in advertising. I was very happy and I really loved it, but really in my pit, I knew that I wanted to be an organizer. So because I spoke about it all the time, a friend saw a posting on Instagram that the Home Edit, who at the time was probably the most recognized home organization brand out there, and really a trailblazer in many ways for inspiring other organizers to get into the industry. They were posting that they were hiring in New York City to start a market. And so a friend sent me that post and I applied and I ended up getting the job to launch the New York City market of the Home Edit, which was really great. And I was living my dream for a year. I always say it was like a kid who played football, like went to some training camps growing up. And then all of a sudden the Jets or the whomever you want to choose were like, we want you.
They pulled you off the sideline. This was your moment. Why home organizing though? Because there's nothing that stresses me out more. Why was this your calling?
And that's, I think, why, because it was so niche, so unique. Like when I was 10 years old, I wrote a business plan that said Spaces by Pamela Nicole. I was the kid who I wouldn't leave my room growing up if it was a mess. It just really affected my mental state. Maybe I'm diagnosed, whatever. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to turn this into a job. having systems and order for things really always affected me personally, mentally, socially. Like, even when friends were coming over growing up, it wasn't my mom running around the house tidying up. It was
really
me.
Like, I was, you were the meme.
I was the 10-year-old meme. Like, that was me. I was living my dream. And then guess what? COVID hits. And this career where now strangers are inviting other strangers into their homes to touch all of their belongings and is now completely up in the air is, oh my, I mean, in the early stages of COVID, it was like, I can't foresee anybody ever opening their door to another stranger and being like, touch everything I own ever again. Yeah. And what am I going to do? I just left a career. I mean, I'd spent 5 years building an agency with a great man. His name is Larry Kimmel. He's fantastic. He's fabulous. He's a veteran in the advertising space. And so things were great and I loved it, but I left all that aside to come into this industry and now boom. So,
how long had you been there before COVID hit?
About a year and 4 months.
Okay. So laid it all on the line and then COVID hits and it all just flips over.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was like, oh no. I mean, it could have gone very dark for me if I let myself into the thought of, well, now I'm stuck. Like, there's no other choice. Mm-hmm. So the whole company was furloughed. Everything was up in questions. But the only choice I had was, you have to bring something new to market. You just have to keep moving forward with, like, there was no, I had to be naive and there was no space for second guessing anything about, okay, well, what if this doesn't happen? It was like, this is going to happen, but we need to bring something different to market.
Okay.
And that was kind of how Settled came to be.
Where did you meet Larissa?
And so Larissa was my colleague at the Home Edit.
Okay.
And I knew right away that it was something special with that. There was like four of us in the New York market, myself, Larissa, and two other girls. And I knew, like, Larissa and I were sent on a business trip and it was tough. It was a very tough client, multiple tough clients. And you know, we had to really pull out all of the stops and we pulled multiple all-nighters on that job to make sure that we got the job done and the client was happy. And by the way, it wasn't our company. We were working for other people. Right. But we literally, I remember one night being in the home organizing and saying to her, us saying at the same time to each other, all right, we're going to have to be here till 7 a.m. And that's a true story. Like, we went and this is like a job where you're moving on your feet. You're up. Mm-hmm. We went all night long, multiple days to complete this job. And I remember thinking, how rare is that to find someone who, it's not even a question. It was like, this is what has to be done. This is what we're going to do to make the client happy. And I was like, we've got something here. Like, yeah. Not only was it just synergy in the fact that, like, hospitality was first and foremost and the client's happiness was first and foremost, which that's rare in and of itself to find people who are so driven towards that. Mm-hmm. But also the work, like, we got accolades that it was the best work the company had produced and it was most beautiful. And so that, the beauty of it, where we can just work creatively so well together, and then, you know, the service side, the client side, that just blends well together. I was like, we've got something here, you and I.
Yeah.
When we were furloughed, it was like, you know, the two of us talked and we just said, we can do this.
Yeah.
And we want to do this. And by the way, working for the biggest company at the time, we still found some opportunities there that we could grow, and not just grow our, like, the company we wanted to create, but the industry itself. Mm-hmm. And that's when we're like, okay, it's time to do what we've just learned and do it beautifully, but also how do we elevate it? Elevate the industry, elevate ourselves, and really tap into, like, what we both were good at. She was a merchandising, you know, she worked in many retail stores, managing them, merchandising. She had a great eye for that detail. You know, I came from the client side, the account side, working with clients and being able to understand the importance of branding and the visual that you put forward. And it's like, together we can create something really special here. And at the time, we went to her cousin who was working in with you.
Yeah, and Jacqueline.
Jacqueline. And we said, you know, we've got an idea here. But there is no way, and this was really me leading that just because of my background, there's no way I'm talking to anybody without something beautiful to back us up. And she was like, I've got the right person, the right team for you. And that's how we met you. And you.
That's so exciting. Me. You came to us with, like, I remember this business deck because it was like, it was not a half-assed business deck. It was a, like, we live in New York. This is like a gritty, we're going to build a business deck. No bullshit. It was like, this is our market and this is our opportunity. And these are the growth areas that we can expand into. And this is how we position ourselves. There was, there's the hierarchy of need that you worked in. Tell me the guy's name.
Maslow's hierarchy of need.
I don't know why I always think Pavlov, but it's Maslow's hierarchy of need. And you were speaking to all this like self-actualization stuff, but also tackling all the specific needs that you could find opportunities in. It was like, it was one of the best business decks, but what it was missing was what you said right at the beginning. You got this tremendous sense of peace and clarity, and you were able to be more productive even when you were a kid from having an organized space. And so you had this great business deck. And the first thing that we started to talk about was the personal needs and anxieties that you guys could eliminate or that you could relieve.
Right. Exactly. We came to you with like, okay, so the tactical elements, we're going to do this. And it's really important to get organized because, you know, we're going to have systems in place. And then I remember the switch where you kind of took it and said, okay, this is all great. And that's going to be the end result that a client's going to eventually love. Mm-hmm. But that's not the reason that they're going to hire you. And I remember you helping us really to fine tune that feeling of, you know, what is disorder costing you? Mm-hmm. Why are you at this point of pulling your hair out that you're ready to reach out to settled? Mm-hmm. And it was that feeling that started driving everything. Like we came to you with like a really like janky logo. And we were like, this is great.
It was all right.
And even in the logo, though, I remember then you had said, let's refine the edges. Let's make it a little bit softer. Let's smooth out the logo. And, you know, everything just kind of gave that vibe of calm. I remember saying, like, we want to be the Cadillacs of organizing. And you're like, yes, but it also has to be relatable. Right. And approachable. And it was fun. And I remember the palette that you presented was so spot on because it was like, it was so calming, but it was so elevated. And a lot of this space is from people who are smaller companies and really just want to make that pow, and it's bright colors and it's, you know, smaller scale, which is fine and great. And, you know, but we wanted, how do we elevate the industry to prove, hey, organizers are not just people you hire at $50 or less an hour and come in and rummage through things. How do we prove the importance and the power of what we do? And that was really what our new branding did. And it was, I remember branding deck. This is someone who, I love branding, right? And it just, and Larissa too, like I remember she doesn't come from that world, but it hit her so hard. And we would talk about it like, this is unbelievable. And this is not to blow smoke, Brian, but so many opportunities have come from the beauty of our brand.
Here's how that happened though. And a lot of times, clients will come to the table and they'll either be really fixated on their competitors and they want to look like that, or they'll be fixated on something that they already have in their head. You mentioned that you brought a logo. You had some preliminary styling in your initial business offering deck. And a lot of clients will be very committed to that. And they'll almost see a challenge to that or even a refinement to that as the creative that they're working with not getting it. It's like, oh, you didn't listen to me. I wanted this. Like I told you this, you're supposed to do this. And what y'all brought to the table was like, this is what we're trying to achieve. We want premium and luxury. But the more I talk to y'all, the premium experience was not necessarily like, I mean, it is. It is the choices of things that you put in the house. It is your choices of products and styling and collaborative partners. It is the process, but it's also y'all, like how you and your team relate to these customers. And I remember you mentioning something very early. It was like, this is kind of like a therapy session. Like we have to make people comfortable enough that they're going to let us into these spaces. And it's not just about hiding things, but kind of solving problems for them so that they can feel like they are more comfortable in their spaces and they can relate better to their families and they can relate better to their work and they can feel like they have a place to relax when they're at home. Yeah. And that's where some of like the best copywriting ever has come out of. That's where we got Picture You're Perfect. That's where we
got Belong With Your Belongings.
One of my all-time favorites, Belong With Your Belongings. Inspiration starts within and we're really focused on the inside of the house. All that stuff was it all came from those conversations. So what y'all did that's different from a lot of clients is you came to the table looking at it as an exercise to get better rather than I'm placing an order at a fast food restaurant and I want you to go to the kitchen and just come back with what I asked for.
I think if you're an entrepreneur and that's your mindset, you got to rework your whole thinking because so often it's too inside baseball. If you're coming to the table and saying, this is what I want, create this. You know more about your company and about your services than anyone ever will. And that's, again, what we learned in this experience and through this journey with Settled. That's not why they're hiring you. That will be why maybe they rehire you. That will be why they love the end product, especially if it's in a service business. But they're not hiring you because you're selling the tactics and the process so well. It's because the feeling that they're ready to trust and invest in you. And that was why it was like, that's why as an entrepreneur, you have to trust your creative director implicitly because you have to bring, and I think that's it. You really just have to bring, here's the outcome, here's what we're trying to achieve, and here's what we're trying to make people feel. Mm-hmm. Now it's your job to execute and, you know, and make the brand tell that story.
And here's what that will get you. Just, you know, pro tip. When I work with Pam and Larissa on Settled, when I work with y'all, what I feel is just a constant sense of momentum. And it is not because you don't provide feedback. It's not because when I send you stuff, you're not constantly refining or offering suggestions. Or, I mean, a lot of the times you'll just say like, this isn't it. We need to do this instead. Remember, like we talked about this and we want to move in this direction more. But because we have aligned early and because I get the sense that you guys are very bought into an elevated solution, not just me punching a ticket. That feedback sparks so many more ideas for me. A creative always needs the guardrails of their client to make sure that because you know the business better, because you know the market better, because you know your customers better, I'm living within your parameters as a creative. But you never offer a sense of you're wrong. You've gone way far. You've gone too far and we don't like this anymore. And now you're not aligned with you guys always appreciate this maintaining momentum. As long as it keeps moving, we can always direct it in the way that it needs to go. But you're never just like, oh, we're going to put this on a shelf. You missed it. We'll talk about it later. Or we don't like that. We're going to go see what somebody else thinks. Or, you know, this is all right, but I asked my husband about it. And what he says is that he really likes the color purple. So maybe you should, you know, it's like you stay within the process and you build and you build and you build. And it just seems like it's an unstoppable freight train by the time it comes to market.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and I think a lot of that is because we're able to move so quickly in kind of working with you and what you kind of throw back. And sometimes it's in a text message. Sometimes it's in an email. I mean, like, it always keeps just the juices flowing and you're That's always right. thinking of some, kind of something new and it, nothing ever feels stale. So, but I really would say, like, to if there's an entrepreneur listening who's ready to start their branding journey, like, if you don't have complete trust in the person that you're handing the reins over to if you don't, if you're not clear in your in the feeling you want your brand to evoke, and you don't trust the creative director or person you're working with implicitly, like, I just don't think it's going to work. And so
it at least won't work as well, because tell me, like, okay, so you hit, this is 2001 that we're talking about, right? When all this was starting to come together. I'm just in 21. I mean, was it 20 or 21? 2022?
Yes.
Okay.
2022. July 2020. Oh my gosh.
No, it's 21. It's 21. It's that COVID fog where, like, nobody remembers what year it is, but I'm pretty sure it's 21. It was, because this is 24. Y'all been in business for 3 years. So 21 is when we started doing this in July. We got up the site. We got some branding up. We got the decks up, and then just explosion of momentum. I think you guys went from, like, nothing to, like, a client book almost immediately. You went from no followers on your social accounts to, like, are you up to well over 10K now, like 12, 15K, something like that? I mean,
we're actually like 33,000.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Look at that. I think you've doubled maybe in the last 6 months then.
Yeah.
So everything is just, like, moving so fast. What has it been like? How do you keep up with all that? Because it's really you and Larissa and a like ragtag team of, like, professionals and vendors and people that can be on location. But we're not talking about jobs that you, like, do from your office. You're traveling all over the country.
Oh, yeah. The biggest shock about entrepreneurship is that you can't have it all figured out before you start. I mean, the process is ever evolving as you go. And that's something that surprised me a little bit, because we did book some really big jobs right out the gate, and we knew we could do it. We knew throw us into this, we'll figure it out.
Right.
And we knew the end goal and the result would be beautiful and smart and functional, but it was the whole process. Okay, how are we going to draft this proposal? How are we going to price it? How are we going to get the team together to build it? And our methodology very early on became clear of, you take the job and then you figure it out. And had you asked me before we started, I'd be like, oh, well, you need all of your documents in a row. I mean, that, you know, in the advertising world, right? It was like, okay, we know exactly what we're going to do. We bring on this client, and this is the team we're going to staff, and this is how it's all going to happen. And this was like, you say yes, you move forward, and then you figure it out. Right. And that's literally, I mean, it's still kind of what we're doing a little bit on the big jobs. Because if you're trying to reinvent an industry and bring something that hasn't been done before, you are reinventing the wheel. Yeah. You know, there are no processes to follow. And if you're bringing something new to market, you're going to have to figure it out as you go a little bit, right? Like,
right.
And adapt to, oh, this is what our client needs on this project. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. And the reason, honestly, we got these big jobs was because the story was there from the beginning. This is how you're going to feel. I mean, it was all in the name of the company. You're going to feel settled. Mm-hmm. And people want to feel that. And they knew our background. They trusted our story, which is, I believe, immensely because of branding. You know, it's a validator. They believed in that. So they were willing to say, yes, let's go forward and do this big project. And then we said, great, now we'll figure out how to do it. And you don't need to see how the sausage is made. But there were plenty of times.
It's going to get done. Let's not.
Yeah.
But okay, so you are landing work and you are doing these big projects, and we've positioned you in kind of this premium market. So I was always just like, I was so impressed when you were talking to me early on about your customers. You were like, we have to come in and we have to solve the problem, but then we have to leave their staff with, like, a plan for their home. And it's like, I understand your market now. Like, these are big jobs there. You've also, like in New York, you've done your things, you've expanded your market, but how are you doing the advertising portion? As like, you know, with a background in advertising, I've watched y'all like get placements in Architectural Digest, and I've watched you guys do affiliate stuff with the Container Store, and I've watched y'all do some stuff with, remind me of her name on Shark Tank that like just blew y'all
Barbara up. Corcoran, right?
Yes. Yep. She like somehow y'all knew to like connect with her, and then she could not stop talking about you. How were y'all thinking about all this while you were building the business, handling all the processes and procedures, doing the jobs? Like where's your headspace on the advertising side?
The partnership that I have with Loris is really so powerful because she trusted me so much to guide us in the outreach and the identifying of opportunities, but then she was right along there on the execution of it as well. So I say a lot, like I give a lot of kudos to people who do this solo because man, that's gotta be tough. And so to have the two of us together, one where she could always kind of focus on, maybe like the logistics and making sure the projects were being armed properly and the back end and the finances and all of that. And I could think about some of the outreach and opportunities. And the other thing was we were building a brand, right? If you want to be looked at as, wow, these are the guys or the gals for, this elevated full service luxury organizing, you need validators for that. You know, if that's the market you're going for, these people are smart. They're going to do their homework and their research. So we needed people to back us on that. So to me, that was all just as important, making these connections and aligning ourselves with the Container Store, you know, reaching out to Barbara Corcoran and shooting our shot there. She's the queen of New York real estate. We're the queens of New York organizing. That kind of made sense. That to me was just as important as building our book of business because one's going to feed the other.
Y'all are always thinking about that kind of stuff. Like how one thing, you know, how doing these little extra things or investing in a side project or a placement or a partnership will play into the larger goal. You're not sort of myopically focused with blinders on the one thing that you've got to do, because it does feel like if you're focused only on clients and only on securing jobs in a row, you the sky is sort of defined. Like you kind of have a limit there. Like, I mean, if you're just doing the same thing over and over again, you don't get to experiment and learn new things or find new markets. And I think that that's been a really fun thing that I've watched over the course of the last few years, is that like once this thing got going, opportunities everywhere started coming up. It wasn't like, it wasn't necessarily what you thought it was going to be initially. It was like, oh, there are all these like niche opportunities. Like where were y'all? Was it in Virginia that you did like a whole?
Yes.
It was in Virginia, right? What was that?
A corporate retreat center. Yeah. And that was so, I mean, it was 20 bedrooms, 20 rooms, massive kitchen. I mean, like working kitchen, like we're working with like a guy who's been a chef for a long time. And we're like, can we move the pots over here? It just makes more sense if you agree, you know? And so, but that was so fabulous. And, you know, we began to realize that if we're positioned, and this is the thing too, like we knew that we didn't just want to create a service company. We wanted to create a brand. Mm-hmm. So if you want to create a brand, then it has to extend beyond your clients. It has to extend into other thought leaders in the space and them validating you and you having conversations with them. And so that's why it was always so important to make these connections and to start brand. So their validation helps us brand ourselves as experts on all things the home. And then by doing that, well, that starts to open up other opportunities. Well, okay, they're experts in all things home and guest amenities and making people feel settled. Well, why wouldn't that directly translate to working on a corporate retreat center where we're having high-end, you know, luxury business folks come in and want them to feel like it's their home away from home for a weekend right. at a time. Well, these are the people we need for that. So yeah. it just, and then that turned into, honestly, event spaces, right? Like, oh, there's, right. they're experts at managing space plans and the flow of things. Okay, so this is an event we're hosting with multiple different stations that need to be worked throughout the night, but how do we stylize those and how do we replenish them as the night goes on in a seamless, beautiful way? Oh, well, they're space planning experts and they can understand that and help us with that. So it was like, once we positioned ourselves as the people,
yeah,
as experts, and then all the
yeah
other opportunities. Because
you're solving these problems of productivity and calmness and peace of mind just as much as you are the spaces. And so people can apply those problems universally. And
yes.
before I get into a funny story, I think that the interesting thing about that is that because you kind of have your direction and because you are able to market in a particular way, you're never in this feast or famine. Eric, like I've looked at your numbers. I've helped you with some of your investor decks. So I know that like the company is growing remarkably quickly. And so you're never in this like desperation mode of like, oh, we've got to pivot and do this now. We've got to, it sort of gives you the opportunity to explore these new things. And it's like, well, let's just test this or let's try this out. Mm-hmm. And if it's a good fit or if there's opportunity there, then we can expand into it. And if not, we'll scrap that and we'll go do something else because we've got our main story, our main business focused, and we can branch if we need to, but yes. we're not desperate to like reinvent our business plan because everything's so ill-defined. You know, nobody understands yes. us. So we've got to figure it out again. We've got to do this again, right? You got it figured out at the beginning and now it's sort of the application in all these different niches. I think that's so
cool. We kind of gave ourselves that little cushion and wiggle room in the beginning mm-hmm. to say like, you know, we want to be specific in what we offer, but not pigeonhole ourselves. Mm-hmm. So
there's this,
that helps as well.
Yeah. There's this story that I want to tell about. So we were working on some stuff. I think it was last year. And the big, like crux of the meeting was sort of this realization that there's a tremendous amount of expertise that goes into your pitches and proposals that kind of has to go in up front. And then it sort of is contingent on the client approving it and hiring you on before you get to go in and execute and, you know, get paid. And I remember talking to y'all so much about just the expertise, the research and the planning that goes into your proposals that has so much value. And we started yeah. talking about how we could position that. And in the meantime, I was sitting in the middle of a reno. Like my office is new and so is most of my house. And I was just relating.
Beautiful, by the way.
I was relating. Thank you. I was relating to you that like we don't. Now that we're back into this space, we don't know where anything goes. It's like, we feel like we've got we know that it's all built for our stuff, but it's like, do we keep our stuff? Do we change our stuff? Do we move our stuff? And it's so overwhelming. That's why I think that I'm so just in awe of what y'all do because like you talk about event spaces or like 20 room retreats, you just talk about my house, like organizing my house. It seems so overwhelming. Right. And what I did was I got you on FaceTime and I like walked you through my kitchen and you talked to Allison and like we looked around the house yeah. and you were like, oh, I got this. And so just from being able to like see things in the house, you sent me this quick like blueprint of how everything should go. And I was like, ladies, that's an opportunity because it's not just me that needs that. I need to be able to get you guys in the house and do that for other people. And I think that the only real thing that, you know, I know we can't reveal too much about that, but the only real thing that also coincided with while you were helping me with the house, while we were trying to put value on the actual like research, planning and expertise that you did, you also kind of found this interesting market with athletes. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, that was pretty, that was great. I mean, that was organically, we ended up getting, an athlete, who was relocating, and it became very clear certain things that were unique to that market, the speed at which they had to relocate, the multiple homes or from like, you know, the seasonality of their life, things being stored in storage units, not seeing memorabilia and awards and fabulous accolades for years. The part where their home needs to support their physical development, you know, it's really important that their kitchen is set up a certain way, that their body is treated a certain way, and that recovery is taken into account in their home, but also that the family feels settled when they're not, you know, it's not necessarily a permanent fixture for them. It's been for a few months, it's during the season. So we're like, wait a second. So we had to rethink a little bit the proposal, rethink the process to make sure all of these items aligned. And once, I mean, we really nailed that job, I'm pleased to say, then it was locker room talk. Then, you know, that client was in the locker room and they had a teammate who was just transferred. And was like, yeah, I'm so happy to be here, but ugh, now I have to move again and unpack and all that stuff. And our client says to him, I got the girls for you. They'll do it all.
Wow.
And, you know,
wow.
And that is how that second client reached out to us. And we got him set up. And, you know, what would normally take an entire season of living out of a suitcase or bag. I mean, this was our first client was a family, two young kids. And the second client was just a single guy who just needed help on how to live in this temporary home that he was in for the season. And we were able to come in and really set him up with, okay, you know, what should you be eating? Well, this is how your kitchen should be stocked then. And where's your recovery set up? And he's like, my recovery station. I have it all like in these bags. And we're like, so you take it out every time you need to do a workout and you put it back in? He's like, well, yeah. Oh no.
We can fix that.
We can fix this. So we set up a station for him. So those were the two first clients who were like, oh man, this is an opportunity and these people are being overlooked. Settled sports.
Settled sports. That's next. I cannot tell you how excited I am about this. And I also think that it's just like it speaks back to what we're talking about. Like you've got it defined. You've got this story and you've got this momentum, but you don't think about the fact that like, oh, there's this whole market of people that their lives just get upended at the end of every season or some seasons where they have to completely relocate to a new home in a new city with their families. And how do they do that? Like, you know, the stress and the anxiety and the pressure and the, you know, the deadlines and everything that just put so much strain on those families, like it's a huge pain point and you can solve that. So I love that positioning and I can't wait until like, you know, DiCaprio finds out that like every time he goes on location, you can go set up his house. Like, I can't wait for celebrities to figure out this. I mean, you're already in New York. I feel like, are you making some moves? Do you know any agents? Can you talk to anybody that might get you in the door?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. I mean, yeah. And that's the thing too, like, with sub branding, don't be scared of that. You know, if you have your, this is, you know, you know, your umbrella approach, right? We are experts of the home. We can help you feel settled no matter what that takes. And then then we were able to identify a unique segment of people who needed that help. Okay, well, let's create tailored messaging just to them. When we're not losing ourselves, you know, we're staying true to who we are and what we offer, but by being able to speak to them a little bit more directly, identify their problems, their solutions, goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning about their feelings. Their feelings are a little bit different than the average homeowner, right? They're worried about their family. They're worried about the seasonality of it all, the timeline on it. If you can brand that uniquely within your overall branding, I think that's an incredible opportunity and something that we're not scared of. So every time we find someone or a segment of people that we can talk to uniquely, well, that's a new brand. And that's because it just gives you the clarity that they need to hear without losing yourself.
And because you, I mean, the entrepreneurial mindset is so fascinating to me because like I was talking to y'all the other day and the thing that can't be replicated, I don't think, is something we touched on earlier. And that is you and Larissa, like what you impart into your team, how you guys just naturally are. You were talking to me about like being on location at a place and you've got to make sure that, you know, it's explained that you've already got buy-in from this family. You've already like had the meetings, you've done the one-on-ones to make sure that everybody is on the same page and comfortable. Like this family that you're working with is essentially an extension of y'all, or they're an extension of you. Y'all were like helping with the move, like signing for things and making sure electrical was hooked up. And like, there were all these things that y'all were just doing because you were there that a lot of folks will not embrace because they feel like they have to just follow the guideline or the contract or whatever. But y'all are always looking for opportunities to elevate the experience for your clients.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that end feeling of when we're on site, the cable, you know, the family's not there. It's our job to make them feel settled the moment they walk through that front door. Mm-hmm. So the cable man comes and he needs to set up the cable box. Well, whether it's in our scope of work or not, when the family comes home and sits down on that couch and looks around and says, wow, everything is so beautifully organized and gorgeous. And then they go to put the TV on and it's the fuzzy screen. Yeah. Well, that impacts our work. Uh-huh. Now they're not feeling settled anymore. Right. So it's just as important that the TV works when they come home.
Yeah.
You know, or that the gas range is connected, or to, you know, that the laundry machine is working, mm-hmm. because all of that is the final feeling that they're left with. And that is what we've promised them. You're going to feel settled when you come home, and whatever we can touch and make sure is done correctly, well, that's going to affect the end result for them. And ultimately, the final taste they have in their mouth on us and our business.
I think that it's such a remarkable service that touches everyone. And y'all have worked so tirelessly to like figure out ways to make it more and more accessible. What does 2024 hold for y'all? What is like, it's going to be a busy year, obviously. Like what are some of the goals? Like what are y'all trying to knock out?
Yeah. So this is going to be such an exciting year. I mean, you're really in the trenches with us on so many different projects, which is so exciting. We're so grateful for that. I mean, the new website alone, like, yes, it's, some people would say your current website is fine that you have up. And in fact, a lot of people say it's beautiful and they love it and they can't believe that I'm telling them we're doing a V2 of it only, you know, 3 or so years into business. But why not? Yeah. Why not keep evolving? We've got more of a story to tell. We have different targets to speak to now. We know ourselves better than when we started that, you know, when we put up that first website. There's nothing saying we can't evolve and change and, you know, elevate again. So that's what we're doing. And this new website is going to have so much portfolio work on it. Again, validators and more about what I was really excited about working with you, and like, I remember the one page you brought, which really is, you know, what is disorder costing you, and that feeling, and asking our clients who come to our website, are you really ready to, you know, are you ready to jump into this? And, right. and are we hearing you correctly that this is what you're feeling? And so that website is really so important. And I'm so excited about, that.
We've got to get that launched.
And you know, the athlete area, we have some really exciting new partnerships there lined up.
Pumped about that. We've got to get that dialed in. That's on my plate. I got sidetracked with this other thing that we're working on. We're working on pitching.
We have so much. We have so many
like, things. I don't know which one I'm most excited about. Like, I feel like, you know, you have somebody on and you, especially a client, and you're like, oh, you're my favorite, blah, blah, blah. But like, you guys have so many good ideas and it's so challenging. And then when you like bring them to me, it's not like, go make this, go do this for us. It's like, here's the idea. What should we do? And I get to think about it and I get to bounce these ideas off of you. And then you get to direct me to the right market or the right phraseology, whatever it is. And we come, like the things that get produced for Settled, I would say rival anybody else that is trying to do anything anywhere. Like this is elevated work. Some of my favorite portfolio pieces, because it just feels like I know when I send you stuff, the feedback is going to make it better. Like I love That's working cool. on this stuff. And it's just crazy that we're doing so much. Well, I feel like there are at least three different ventures. I even forgot about the website, because that's Matt's team working on that.
There are four things in the works right now, Brian.
Yeah.
As I'm sitting here speaking to you, I'm like, I owe you an email back on this.
Yes. And I appreciate, again, like,
you work so fast. Sometimes it's too fast. You know, like, it's like, we've got these great ideas. We send them off. And then you're like, okay, so here's what I was thinking. And we can do this.
Yes. Yes. Well, we always start with one project, and then it's like, but have we thought about this other thing that you could also be working on? And you sent me, we've got a new name for one of the ventures. And then that name, which I didn't know how we were going to work it at the beginning. And then it turned into like the perfect acronym for what this thing is. So now I'm super stoked on that. And I've got to go back and like, I'm not going to give too much away, but there's a whole nother team that we've recruited some people in on, and they're going to be helping us work on a project that I think is going to be game changing. We've got to market to the athletes, which y'all are working faster than I can keep up with the pace of the presentation. We've got the new website going. We've got this other sort of
virtual service,
the virtual service that you basically piloted with me, and I'm twisting y'all's arm to just embrace. And I think that we're going to do that too. It's just so cool, Pam. I'm so stoked on y'all.
Oh, same. Like now that I'm going to walk away from this conversation jazzed again, you know, I feel like that's what you need as an entrepreneur. Like you need somebody who's just as, if not more, excited about the ventures than you, because it's so easy to get down in the details of things and think, okay, it's never going to progress. These are great ideas, but how can we possibly do four new ventures at once while maintaining our client, like making sure that they're happy? And to have someone like a creative thinking who understands what we need to deliver, but also understands how it's going to hit the market and how it's going to make a splash. Oh my God, that's so exciting, because it lets me, Larissa and I, us, start thinking like the consumer. Like when you send me something back, it's not my first hat is not the business owner hat on. My first hat is the customer consumer hat. And yes, I'm like,
that's right.
That is the coolest thing, because that allows you to get excited and jazzed. Yeah. And then you can put on your business owner hat and say, okay, are these hitting all the aspects and the services that we need to talk about? But it's so fun and rewarding to get excited about the work that you share and the ideas that you bring to someone, and then they elevate for you. So it's just, I'm very grateful.
We're going to schedule these sessions for more than we do. Like we sound like we're talking every day. We talk, you know, once a month, a couple times a month, maybe a lot of times through text messages as ideas are coming together. But like, I always leave these conversations feeling so excited. So I pinned you down for a podcast, but we're just going to schedule these weekly, because I get down in the, I get backed into a corner. I get stuck in the details on a lot of things a lot of the times, but every time we talk, I feel like, oh, we're blowing up. Like this, we're blowing this up in 2024.
The opportunity is endless. Exactly.
It is happening. So I'm so excited for your time. I know that you've got so much going on, but thank you for being here and for sharing some of this story. I'm stoked on 2024. Like we're going to do some fun stuff.
We're going to get settled. We're going to get more people settled in 2024. It's going to be fabulous.
Going to get settled. We'll promote the website launch when that comes out. I know it's going to be soon. Finishing touches. I think the only holdup is that we keep adding to it. We got to just decide like this is the moment, and then we'll add to more later. So, and get you guys to stop. Get you guys to stop traveling. Get you guys to stop traveling. Just about the time we'll hit an inflection point, I'll send something to you, and you'll be like, oh, fantastic, but we're in Nashville for a week, or like, oh, excellent.
We're actually leaving for DC tomorrow.
We're on location. How's DC going? Is that, that's gotta be a great market to break into.
Oh, it's been so, really great for us. A lot of great work in DC.
I want to know, like, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity there, but I'm so fascinated by like the architecture in DC and the way people build their homes in DC. And, you know, New York is similar. Similar is the wrong word. I'm probably just going to cut that. New York is not similar. New York is way better, but DC is its own vibe. And DC feels like such a perfect fit for this, like, very luxury service that has to be complemented by a very personal touch that y'all do so well. So I want DC to happen for y'all too.
Thank you. Yeah, me too.
Cool. All right. The DC deck is going to be our fifth thing to work on.
Yeah, right. Okay. Fifth thing on the docket. Yeah.
Pam, thank you so much. We're going to get settled. Thank you so much for your time. And I'll talk to you more soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to that episode. It's the first in a series that I hope to bring to this podcast, where I interview some of my past clients about their experience in entrepreneurship and working with creative and brand. Now, if you enjoyed this podcast, I'd love it if you'd subscribe to wherever you're listening. And please share it with a friend, because it helps me expand the reach of this podcast and produce more episodes. Thank you so much for listening to The Creative Brief. As always, I'm Brian Athey, and I'll see you next time.